you think the moment was that you'd been driving long enough to where you didn't think about driving anymore?
Where you could like go to work on autopilot, I don't know, maybe a year or two of driving. It would be where you'd be daydreaming and then you'd automatically find yourself at Chick-fil-A if you're me, because I worked at Chick-fil-A. And or you'd drive somewhere nearby, but then your car would automatically drive itself to Chick-fil-A and you're like, oh darn. Have you ever accidentally driven to work or started a drive to work? You're like, oh, I always take this right turn. And then has that ever happened?
And then it's all, has this ever happened to you? There's a, it's almost worse when you like are going to a similar place but not for work, and you're not going to work, but you like take the same route and then it's, you accidentally like, turn in and you're like, oh no.
It's like so gross. Or you have to go to work on the weekend. It's like,
oh my gosh.
So bad. Not to work, just like you forgot something. It's like, totally.
Yeah. Because I remember even like when I was driving with my permit, I remember there being a moment where I was like, oh wow, like I'm kind of not even... like I'm thinking about something else. I wasn't quite daydreaming yet, but I was like, I can like think about something else and not driving while I'm driving. That's a big deal, you know?
Then you learn manual and then that's a whole other, but yeah, eventually that's automatic too, if you excuse the pun. Eventually manual is automatic. And so, yeah, it's fun.
It's cool. It's good, I still don't know how to drive manual.
we'll get to that. You kind of did it one time with Jared, sketchily.
Oh yeah.
So you kind of know how.
I forgot about that.
But also not really. The Jeep was super forgiving as long as you like clutched within the like hour window of time.
Yeah, exactly. That's, I did it on my, I told you about my papa taught me on his Toyota T100.
Ooh, that's cool.
Did he do that?
No, you never told me that.
So cool. It was actually named that because, so the F-150, they wanted to do a T-150 for Toyota.
Oh, know? That makes sense. The lawyers were like, no.
Lawyers were, yeah, they said no, and they had to do a T-100 instead. And so it's like the, it was from 90, I think they did it from 92 or 3 to like 98.
Yeah.
And then that's when the Tundra, Toyota Tundra started, and it kind of took its place. So cool looking. I love that truck. It's a 97. Anyway, all that aside, manual is very difficult. And it was like when I would clutch, it was like, it had to do it just the right way to get it in the next gear.
Or it stalled. Some cars are very forgiving, some are not. And once you get up, once you're past first gear, get started from a stop, it's pretty easy because you're in motion. So it's like, you can just do it whenever. Yep. It's fine.
Starting and stopping.
Or a sudden stop, you have to clutch and brake at the same time, or you like throw out your gearbox. I don't know the technical term, but it's obviously not great.
Yeah.
Sudden stops are not good. So a secret is that I've grown to like auto cars. It's like, oh, this is kind of nice. I just don't want to, which is like every car enthusiast is like losing their mind, but it's like, it's just a lot. It's just a pain in the neck sometimes. I don't really need to be worrying like, about this right now.
Like if I'm ever like stuck on a, like in traffic on a hill or something.
Yeah. It's like, I'm like, thank heavens for manual.
Like this would be awful. This would make it.
Cause then you have to like go back for a second, but not hit anybody. And then like brake and clutch at the same time.
Because if you stop, and then if you kill it like, on them, then it's like people are behind you and it's like, oh my gosh.
Versus here I am in my nice auto car. Whoop, no problem. Exactly. Right up I go.
Like,
oh,
literally
I can stop.
Where I want to go and I push the right pedal and I go.
It's like, isn't it glorious?
It is.
Isn't it glorious?
But I kind of wish I had a manual just to like have, but not to drive every day.
Yeah, if it wasn't your daily drive. But it's like technology, that's the goal.
Yeah.
Is make our lives easier, and it's making our lives easier.
True.
Joe, I think you should watch this new show coming out. It's really like, you haven't probably heard of it. It's not very popular. It's like all indie. It only has a few different, I'm very unique, guys. You should go watch Severance on Apple TV Plus, bingo, or find or acquire a way to watch it like other people's Apple TV credentials or whatever you need to do. It's really good. The premise, imagine if you were split, severed, if you will, and there was kind of one side of you that only went to work and one side of you that only was outside of work. And because the person is outside of work, they call them the outie. And because the person is inside work only, they call them the innie. That's the short version. So what if you were divided into two people? So from your outie's perspective, you drive to work, go in the elevator down to work, the doors close, and then they open right back up again. And you're done with work. It's 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
So you 9 to 5 just completely clicks and is gone. And then from your innie's perspective is kind of horrifying because you open up the door, you start work, you work a whole day, 8 hours, and you go in the elevator, the doors close, instantly open back up, you work a whole day. No weekends, no sleeping, no night, no nothing. Is that kind of horrifying?
Dude, I like
That's actually, and there's, of course, there's no, you know, I don't think I'm spoiling too much. You can kind of see in the trailer, but there's like no windows in the office building, and it's just, it's rough. So
I started watching that actually 2022 in the spring.
When it was like coming out?
2023, sorry. A year later.
Oh, okay.
I just bought my Mac and I had a 3 month.
Get it within 3 months.
I honestly started it and it freaked me out so much. I was like, I don't know that I can do this.
That's fair. No, that is a little freaky.
And so, yeah,
it's freaky show.
Stopped watching it. And then recently Jack started watching it again and it just grabbed me again. Cause it's so intriguing. Cause it's kind of like almost how, like, you know, the Uncanny Valley, it's like that. And it just like grips me. It's like, so it's just weird enough and mysterious enough to get me, but it's really well made and like makes sense too. You know, I don't know. So I've seen a few episodes. I've seen like one to maybe two episodes, maybe three.
So you've seen season one, episode one, two, and three, and probably. Then you never know.
Never know what
don't
happens.
Don't you wonder, Joe?
What is the break?
Don't you lay awake wondering what the break room is?
I have no idea. Yeah, I do actually sometimes. Not laying awake, but I do wonder. I do wonder.
Anyway, check it out. Season two just finished. The last episode of season two just came out like a week ago or something. It was awesome. Yeah, it's great. No spoilers, but check it out. I don't know, Joe. You got to go watch it.
Well,
because this is what my family did. Because we were watching separately. Then we watched like the second to last episode all together. And then I was like, couldn't wait because I knew it had come out. So I watched the very last one on my own and then rewatched it with them. I'm pretty good about this because they would like be like, oh, you know, did you like it? Oh, was it the clip? It's like, guys, watch it. Watch the show.
I think
everything's a spoiler. I think did you like it is kind of a spoiler. I think did. All was right, there a cliffhanger? Enough. That feels like, you know. Oh man, there's a big twist at minute 40. You're like, bro.
Sure.
It's like, no, oh, Sixth Sense, you've got to watch it. There's this crazy twist. Like, bro, just get out of here. Just let me watch the thing.
I probably should just watch it.
Don't tell me anything. And the Sixth Sense is an exception because that's been out like 20 plus years.
Yeah, that's true.
So there's some things that aren't spoilers because.
Things suck.
But like, you have to give it like them. Like, I'm not going to really talk about it with people unless they say I've watched the whole thing and want to discuss it. Because otherwise, I'm just like ruining all the surprise. So.
Dude, I'll never forget. When I went and saw Avengers Infinity War.
With zero spoilers. No. Endgame as well?
No, Infinity War. Just Infinity War. And I remember as I was walking into the theater, there were some like middle schoolers walking out.
See, that's diabolical.
And they were like, everybody dies.
Not everybody dies. You know? The universe dies.
And I was like, oh, get it right. No get it way. Right. Like, that's either just being dumb, obviously. And then I watched the movie.
I mean, half the people die. Not all the people die. So would you say those two middle school boys detracted from the experience or neutral, net neutral?
Maybe neutral because I didn't take them seriously, you know?
Okay, so it didn't matter because the spoiler was so crazy.
I was like, there's no way that they do that, you know? And then they did that. Well, no spoilers, but...
See, there's kind of a statute of limitations when it's been out for a while.
7 years?
God, don't say that. Don't say that.
Brother.
My brother.
Whoa. Yeah, I think it was 2018. And then,
no, April 27, 2018. It's about to be.
Holy crap.
2018 is so recent. Feels
seven
recent.
7 years ago.
Does 2018 feel more recent to you than like 2022?
It's almost like when I think about 2017, 18, 2018, 2019. It's like for a second, I don't know what year it is. And I'm just like, oh yeah, like that's been pretty recent. So then, but like subconsciously, I'm making it in my mind that like it's maybe 2020 or 2021. And then I snap out of that. And
yeah,
I go,
2018 was, well, 4 or 5 years ago. It wasn't that long ago.
And it's like, no, it was 7 years ago. And 2020 was 5 years ago. In fact, at the time of this recording, May 24th, it was COVID. COVID was happening 5 years ago. 5 years ago.
Yeah, that feels right. That feels right. I believe it.
I don't know, man.
I believe that one.
Like,
that
so
was a really long time
ago. So much has happened
in
my life in 5 years, you know? Which is probably a good natural
thing.
Yeah,
if it didn't, it's like, oh, no.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, that's good.
Insane. Yeah. Always existentialist here.
Always existential.
Man.
New game for you, mobile game. Someone at our table tonight was opening up Pokemon cards
and let you
open up a Pokemon card, which I don't understand because it felt like, does that app let you like have them fight or does it?
I have no
idea.
It's
literally just open up a pack.
It's just like the dopamine hit of opening a pack.
It's just like, oh my goodness, a pack. So what's funny is, you know what other game has pack? Balatro. Now I've heard this explained so many ways. I've heard, because when I started playing it, I was like, oh, it's Balatro. And then I was like, no, it's Balatro. And it's like, no, it's Balatro. And it's like, no, it's
Balatro.
No, it's, and
how is it spelled?
I don't know. It's, it is B-A-L-A-T-R-O.
B B-A-L-A-T-R-O.
So I was like, Balatro, when Balatro. I first started playing it. But then everyone online either says Balatro or Balatro. So they put a different emphasis on the different syllable.
So you were saying Balatro?
And I think that's wrong. I think it's either Balatro or Balatro.
Balatro.
I think Balatro sounds dumb, so I'm going to go with Balatro.
I think Balatro sounds better.
Balatro is just dumb. Balatro. 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 See the difference? Yeah. The different emphasis on the different syllables. Oh, have you done the thing where it's like, I didn't murder that man, and then you put like a different emphasis on everything. So like, I didn't murder that man. 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 You know, like they all have different meanings.
That's so
like,
funny. Oh,
English language is crazy.
I didn't. Yeah, that's really, wow. Hey, I could go crazy with your voice right now. I could make you say so many things.
Oh, like editing it together?
Yeah, dude. I murdered that man.
Joe, I am convicting a felony right now. It's like, oh, really realistic, guys. Thanks for that. I'll just give it to you for free.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Oh, goodness. Anyway, so that's fun. So it's kind of, I tried to explain it before on a different podcast and it failed and I cut it out. But basically, there's different cards. You've got a deck of 52 cards, nothing special. You've got all the aces, all the diamonds, all the spades, all the clubs, whatever. Completely normal. And then it deals out, you know, like you have 8 cards at once. So you can either play them as a hand out of your hand, or you can say, I don't want these, and discard them. They just get thrown away. So each round, you try to score a certain amount of chips, and then it's going to start sounding like crazy very quickly, but trust me, you have to score a certain amount of chips. Obviously, easy hands, like high cards, is the easiest hand. You just play, you play like one card or multiple cards that aren't anything, and it just scores the highest card. So high card is like barely any chips because it's super easy. It's not hard to play high card. So the harder hands give you more chips, obviously. Like the hardest one to do is a straight flush, which is like ace of... let's do like ace of spades, two of spades, three of spades, four of spades, five of spades, that kind of thing. So same suit, counting down or up. So there we got the game pulled up right here.
Pulling it up right now.
So we're pulling up right now. And so basically, obviously those hands give you a lot of chips, and then there's ones in the middle. So obviously kind of pulling it up. Four of a kind is the second hardest to get, like four aces, four queens, whatever. That one's kind of hard. And then full house is three of one kind through like three threes and two twos or something like that. It's like a three of a kind combined with a pair. And then it goes down. Flush is all the same suit. Straight is counting down. Three of a kind is three of a kind. Two pair is like two of one and two of the other. And then, is any of this making any sense?
Yeah, it's like poker hands, right?
Is poker hands. Nothing crazy. Okay. But each one has a base amount of chips and mult that's associated with it at the beginning. Mm-hmm. If you play a straight flush, you score. Not only do you score, because all face cards are 10 chips automatically, and then all number cards are that amount of chips. And then the ace, all aces are 11 chips. See, I'm trying to explain it, but it's like completely nuts. I try to explain anyway. It counts all of that. Then it adds it to the base level of chips and mult. And then it multiplies it together and you get your score for that hand. So you have like four or five hands. Depending on the deck and depending on like different modes and things, you have a different amount of hands you can play. Here I am in the small blind. I've got to score at least 300 chips. And so it's like, okay, how do I do that? So I've got some kings and jacks. I don't want these other smaller cards, so I'll discard those. And then I've only got 3 discards to work with and 4 hands to work with. So then I discard these cards. And then, I lost another one of my discards. And I'll go for more. And so here I have a full house because I have 3 kings and 2 jacks. So it will be 40 times 4. And then each of these will give me 10 additional chips that counts. And then I hit my amount and go to the next one.
Wow.
If you don't hit your next amount, it's a roguelike. So you restart the whole game, basically.
Can I try it really quick?
Yeah, you can try it.
Dude, that's kind of fun. I feel like there's going to be at least one person in the audience who's like, oh my gosh, yes, I understand everything.
Yeah, like only game, one person. You know?
Yeah, maybe Jacob Houston. I wonder if Jacob Houston still listens.
Jacob Houston, let us know if you still listen.
We're gonna know.
But anyway, there's a menu that I can't find that shows like this, and then it multiplies by this. So there's a formula for it increases, the ante increases. So then you have to buy Joker cards. You have to enhance the cards in your deck. If you have a Joker that like really helps you out, there's some Jokers that help you out when you play clubs, some that really help you out when you play diamonds, some that help you if you have like a mix of clubs and diamonds, some that help you if you play two pairs, some are good for flushes. There's different Jokers that do millions of different things. And there's like 120 Jokers or something, but you can just buy different ones. And of course, you don't want to spend too much money because then you don't earn enough interest. But then every time you beat, you know, around, you get a certain amount of money. So it's this crazy system that is like, this is legitimately so fun. I'm not going to lie. And you should try it out. And because my reaction was like, Owen showed me how to play it. And I was like, this doesn't even seem that fun.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I kind of get it. It could be fun. It was like, oh my gosh, this is my life now.
This is cocaine in my veins.
The best Jokers I'll say, are called Brainstorm and Blueprint. and brainstorm copies whatever joker's on the left of your slot. There you can have five jokers most of the time. Nice. There's some situations where you can get more, but most of the time you can have five.
Yeah.
And so that it copies it, which is great. Because then if you have like a joker that gives you four molt every time a club is scored, you can copy it. So you get eight molt every time a club is scored.
Whoa.
And then you can have like a joker that times molt by three. And then so you can get a ton of molt and then multiply by three. And then like do re-triggers on cards and just do that. So basically it is an entire universe. And I recommend checking it out.
All right.
That's as best as I know how to explain it. It's kind of hard. What are you playing video games? Have you given up video games because you're a working man?
Well, I was playing college football for a little while on the Xbox.
Oh, the X. I was like, my brain was crashing on that. Yeah. I was like, Xbox. Got it.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, you and Jack were playing that one time when I was over.
Yeah.
That was good.
It was good. It's fun. I just have.
Is it literally called college football?
Yeah, college football 25. It's really good, really fun.
Are there IU players in there?
Yeah. So with NIL stuff.
We talked a bunch about that in Story Lab, which is good old
Layton.
Good old Professors Layton.
Yes.
Professor Layton's Professors Layton. And they taught us all about it. So NIL, where students can license their name and likeness, name, image, and likeness, so, which is NIL.
I got to throw as Curtis Rourke. Who is a real man who actually played for IU.
Are there some other like NPCs that are just made up or is everyone there a real person?
That's what I'm curious about. So like they have this whole thing with like recruiting where you can like recruit from high school. But like surely they can't share the names of high schoolers, right? In their hometowns. Like, so I imagine that those are made up. So essentially like if you're playing it like as a campaign where it's like you year to year, you're the coach. And so you can play up to 2070 or something as a coach of a team or whatever, move around. Surely all of those players eventually will be like made up because they can't know that far out in general, but also just even a few years out, it's like you only have access to the guys who are in doing things now.
Oh, okay. You know? So if someone like graduates, they delete them from the game or what?
See, that's, I don't know.
How's that work?
I have no idea. I think it's probably lifetime. I don't know.
Because you probably just stay there. But then is it like they're the wrong age because they're way older in real life so they stay in college? I'm curious how that works.
I have no idea.
But you don't know how it works?
No, I don't.
Does the game get updates?
It does.
Jack would know. We need to get Jack.
Jack might know. Although we kind of stopped playing because he tried Starfield. Did you see anything about that?
I sure did not. I only play one game right now and it is Palatro, whatever.
Palatro. Yeah, it's like Skyrim. Do you know Skyrim?
Is that the one with the infinite planets?
No, that's No Man's Sky. It's honestly like No Man's Sky, but if No Man's Sky had a baby with Fallout, or it's like Fallout. It's the same studio that made the game, and so it's like space Skyrim is more.
So what
accurate.
Are you what are you doing?
Well, it's like there's just too much to do. It's one of those games where it's like
Breath of the Wild, where it's way too much.
And even in the game mechanics, it's like there's fighting, but there's a crap ton of different weapons, and you can customize every single weapon and. And then there's like the ships, which is how you get around, and like you can customize your ship and like get a ton of new ships. There's a million planets to go around and like a ton of story. And it's, I don't think it was bad. I didn't actually play it very much, but he was just saying that like it was just too, like Fallout, it's just like, okay, post-apocalyptic late 21s, you know, 2100s. And it's like, yep, still got my, you know, regular old pistol and running around New England and having a good time, you know, but like with that game, it's just like so massive and there's just too much to do. He also tried Indiana Jones, the new game. It said it wasn't very good either.
Nope. Mediocre, says Jack Durnall.
Yeah. I need to maybe try it myself, but that's my summation of everything he said about it. So I have not played a lot of video games. I have read though. Did I tell you about How to Hear God?
Mm-mm, not yet.
Okay.
How do you hear God, Joe? Well, let me tell you.
Let me start
preaching to me. He's preaching the good word.
So it's a book by, his name is Pete Grieg. I don't think it's Greg. I think it's Grieg. Basically, it's just a book about like how to hear from God. And like he talks about, I think the first chapter is on like how to hear God in Jesus, how to hear God. And then it's like how to hear God in scripture. And there's like two of those. And then how to hear God in, he talks about prophecy. He talks about dreams and visions, talks about like God's whisper, how to discern God's whisper. It's actually really good. And like, I think in my, like growing up in my tradition of like Christianity, like scripture was a big one and like trying to see, like hear God through Jesus, even if scripture wasn't always like the main focal point of that. So like those those chapters made a lot of sense to me and like I related with. The ones that I don't have a lot of experience with are like the prophecy, dreams, like that kind of deal. And like at first I was like, I don't know how I feel about this, but the way that he talks about it is really good. And like basically that, you know, prophecy isn't like fortune telling, and you know, it's not like that. It's just like, it could be anything, you know. It could be like, hey, I feel like I need to tell you that Glasgow is important.
See, that's crazy, right?
You know,
there.
But that might mean something to you, and I might not even know what it means. But I'm like, you know what? I'm feeling like I should share this. See, that's an example he shares in the book of some guy that came up to another guy in his church, and that like meant a ton.
No, that's cool.
And so like he gives really good guidelines, right? So he's like, make sure that it's affirming, make sure that it's biblical, and make sure that it's Christ honoring. And then like, and then he talks about like, hey, like when you get prophecy, like weigh it, like make sure that it's like weigh it with wise people, kind of sit on it. What is the other one? It's all W's. Weigh it. Wait on it, I think. So like be patient with it, 'cause it might not, like if it is legit, like it might not happen for a long time. And then like walk in it, which is like do the thing, you know? Like I know somebody who like, he was like at a, one of my friends told me once, he was like at a coffee shop and he was like dating this girl and it was not going well. And like, this woman came up to him and was like, hey, what's her name? Random stranger woman, you know? And she she was like, I think I'm just like, she was like, I'm a believer. I think you need to break up with her.
Was she there at the time? That was crazy.
No. Just him. I was just saying, that's crazy. That'd be crazy.
See, no, but wait, that's really
and
weird.
And then he proceeded not to do it. But like, but
God told him not to. And he's like, oh, right? Like, guess I'm going to do it.
I don't know if you've ever,
that's super crazy,
had an experience
actually.
Like that. I've gotten like one of those or two, maybe a couple.
I want to hear so bad, but we'll talk.
Yeah, later. Yeah.
I've heard of that happening to people.
Yeah.
No one has told those sorts of things to me. Sure. And I have not told them to anyone else. Or have I? No, I don't think I have.
Well, and see, like, that's,
I mean, maybe I've like felt the need to encourage someone or whatever, but I haven't been like, it's time for you to break, what's his or her name, and it's time to break. I've never been that bold about it or whatever.
And like, he makes a big point. It's like, hey, this is not like a should, it's a could.
Isn't that like intuition though? The intuition that God gives us, which I feel like I have a lot of.
Yeah.
Where I feel like I can just.
Yeah.
I feel like I can sometimes intuit things other people can't.
Mm-hmm.
I think you might be able to too. My intuition tells me that, but and I, maybe it's just being more observant or like over hyper analyzing things. But I think that I sometimes do overanalyze things, but then I just keep the conclusions to myself.
Yeah,
and you know,
well, and like,
don't do anything with it.
For instance, the one word I feel like I've gotten from God, like to God from me, or sorry, from God to me. There was this one time, the one time I've gotten a word from God, I felt like I was kind of sick. But like, I was like in between kind of sleeping and waking. And I remember I went and did laundry and I came back to my room and I was alone. It was weird. I was never alone at night. I always had stuff going on, but for this, for some reason I was alone in college. And, I remember I kind of like was in and out of sleep. And I remember I just kind of like, I kind of jolted awake at one point, or like kind of came awake at one point. And I just, the words felt like they were seared into my mind. God has been here. And what he has started in you, he will bring to completion. Which, like,
whoa.
I know, right? Which, crazy. Like, I was like, ooh. Like,
that's crazy.
But, like, I look
so God
back,
had been, like, in that room?
Well, like, what was it? Through the Spirit, yes. Like, I think so. And looking back, that is biblical. Like, that's Philippians. Like, he started a good work in you and he will bring it to completion. God is with me, so he's here.
It
right?
wasn't
That's
the 104
biblical.
Degree fever. You believe it was that God was wanting
I
to
feel like
something.
It was. And I mean, now, worst case, it wasn't. And I'm encouraged by scripture, right? So that's the other
yeah,
thing.
That's
is
the
it's
worst
like,
case. If There's if not I, really a downside.
If I felt like I got a word from God for you that was like, hey, quit your job and move to Zimbabwe.
Whoa.
What's the worst case scenario there? Well, what if I got it wrong?
Yeah. Like, versus encouragement.
Exactly,
stuff.
Right? Versus, oh, Glasgow is important. Well, I don't know. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Joe, it's crazy you
like,
say
what's
that.
The
no,
worst?
I'm kidding.
Yeah,
I'm
right.
Kidding.
So
that means literally nothing.
It's yeah. So he gives some really good principles.
That's
I don't
super
know if that's
cool.
Interesting
I should
to
read
you
that.
At all.
No, that's very interesting.
I've also like dreamed certain things and then they've happened, you know, which I feel like
I've had that once or twice.
Yeah. But it was like a thing I didn't want to do. And then like, I was like, okay, God, like if that was you, make it happen. And then it happened. And I was like, oh my gosh. So just the way he talks about it is kind of like in the way John Mark Comer writes, which is like not acknowledging the truth of scripture, but not closing it off based on your tradition of faith, if that makes sense. Because like there are some people that, I mean, I know people who like grew up in more charismatic churches where there was lots of prophecy and tongue speaking and visions and stuff like that, where they were really hurt by people who said things to them with godly authority that didn't have it and just wanted the attention. And so like he addresses that, but he's also like, hey, like, let's not westernize everything. Let's not just trust what we can see, touch, taste, and smell. Like, let's be open to the fact that God, if he wants to speak to me through a dream, he could do it.
It's in the Bible.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, exactly. It's all over the place. So I appreciated, I don't know if you haven't, if, I don't know if that's interesting to you, but, it's very good in my opinion. So
that's super interesting. I'll put on the list. And one more time for the people in my notes.
How to Hear God, A Simple Guide for Normal People, which I love. And then, yeah,
that's good. It. I'm a normal person. I need this book.
There you go.
Check it out today.
There you go. Check it out today.
I started wearing this different watch. I'm not sure if it'll stick or not, but it's the Casio F91W, and it's not Apple Watch. It can't receive texts. It cannot receive calls. It cannot tell me the temperature. As I was looking at it today, I was like, what's the temperature? Oh, no, can't tell that. And it's actually kind of nice.
I was going to say, do you feel like your life is more simple now?
Yeah, I actually do. And the crazy thing, so there's a lot we could get into, but the short version, Apple Watch tracks everything. Phones, calls come right to you. Different notifications come right to you. I have a lot off, but still things come right to me. All the heart rate is tracked. All the steps are tracked. All the exercise is tracked. I turned off like the stand hour reminders, but still I know that's in the background being tracked anyway. Mm-hmm. And it's like kind of crazy how much that can influence you, because you always have this thing running in the back of your mind. Mm-hmm. I'm still deciding a little what I want to do with it, but if I want to put it back on or not. But it's like, how many steps did I get? Like, it's not making me, but also I know it's being recorded. So it's like, mm-hmm. Wow, how many steps? And you know,
it's almost like a guilt.
Yeah, it's like, did I do enough exercise minutes? And like, and then I've gotten to this honestly bad place a little bit where I'm like, I will do exercise or whatever, but then I'll look at the stats and be like, that wasn't good enough. And I'm like, that's a problem.
Yeah.
Like, I need to do better next time. But it's bad because it's like, no, it was perfectly fine. And just don't put on the watch, and then it was perfectly fine, and then you'll get better. Yeah. But then here you are like looking at the stats after the fact, like, that was garbage. And it's like, no, it wasn't garbage. You did it, you showed up to it, and you can't be like feeling bad about this. You have to like do it and feel good about it if it's going to work. And so that's getting vulnerable with the people there, but I'm feeling better with that. It's like my wrist is lighter, because there's not, it's just like a small piece of plastic and a small battery instead of this big old thing. So I'm liking it. So
that's cool stuff. No, I'm
not sure if it'll stick or not.
Yeah, just honestly, just like, because I for a week or something,
I went on a walk today. I was like, I feel like the walk would have been different if I had my watch, because I would have like want to hit a certain time or a certain heart rate or like a certain thing. Mm-hmm. But this time I was like, walk around for a bit, walk, come back, whatever. I don't care.
That's how I feel when I like, sometimes I'll get home and put my phone in my room or something and have no, just like even just go sit on the couch or sit on my deck and not have any technology near me physically. I don't know why, it just makes me less stressed out. Maybe that's an easy answer, which is that technology stresses me out. And maybe that's just me, but like, I just feel like life can be a lot simpler without it near, you know, but I'm not, see, that's the thing. I know we've talked about this at length, but just stuff with the light phone and like things like that, like it's good. And for a lot of people, it's great. I'm not like, I just think it's really hard to be a part of, or like to exist in the world today and not have at least just basic access to the internet and a camera.
Basic texting, basic calling.
Exactly. Like, and I guess it does have that, but it's just not, I don't know. Maybe I'm being picky, but yeah. Try it for a week and let me know how that goes, because I'd be really,
I'll report back. Curious. Mr. No Watch now?
Yeah.
He doesn't know what time it is. He's just free floating in the world.
I used to never wear one, and then I wore one for a long time.
You did.
And then I stopped because it broke, and then I got an Apple Watch and wore that for a little while, and then I stopped.
You've been back in whiplash at that thing.
Yeah. I don't know. It's like, because I know, like me knowing the time isn't going to change what time it is.
See, that's some genius Zen wisdom. Right there. That's ingenious
like,
wisdom.
It's like when my little sister, when I'm home, like mom's coming home and she like, which is such a, I was born in 2015 thing, but she was born in 2015. I was not born in 2015. Anyway, she's like, check the map. When's mom coming home?
Oh, whoa. I'm like, that's crazy.
Listen, you knowing how far away she is and when she's getting home does not change the fact, like, when she's going to come home, when she's going to walk through that door is going to be the same, regardless of if you know it or not. So just freaking chill.
That's genius. Check the map is crazy. Yeah, because we didn't have that.
Yeah, no.
I mean, it's sure, crazy. We had Find My, back then, like, it was the yellow Find My Friends, but we only had that when we were like 15 or something.
Yeah,
so we didn't grow up saying check. That's weird.
It's crazy. I mean, she's like 9, but like, she's, you know, and I'm not trying to be like Mr. Old Man, I don't know, back in my day.
Back your eye.
Because I just would call my mom over and over again.
When are you coming home?
Exactly.
I'll get on when I'm going to get on.
And she'd be like, 5 more minutes, and it'd be like an hour.
You know? Lori's very sweet, guys. Yeah. She's wonderful. She's that's wonderful. Not what she sounds like.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's genius. Knowing when she comes home does not change, because she's coming, unless you like call her and tell her to drive fast, but it's like, it's not really gonna change. It is what it is. That's genius.
It's almost like the let them thing you were talking about, like the whole let them attitude.
And I was thinking, like, sometimes I go through my life like rushing through stuff.
Yeah,
I'm like, I gotta get this done, this done. It's like, it's gonna take the same, almost the same amount of time whether you rush or not. Do you know what I mean?
Literally,
right?
My sister took,
like, quote,
a class,
unquote, rushing.
I don't know if I probably told you about this at some point.
Maybe.
Anyway, she took a class on like practical math in college, and she was like, basically this professor talked about how speeding 10 miles over the speed limit will maybe get you there like 60 seconds faster.
It depends on how long that drive is, but yeah, it doesn't do much.
Yeah. So it's like, and that's like 10 miles an hour. That's like a lot.
That's going over, really fast. You know? Extra wear, like, and tear on the car. Blah,
exactly.
Blah, blah.
It's like, it literally, I mean, not to sound like a John Mark Comerite, but you know, hurry has no strategic, well, I can't say that, but if you're in an ER, you should probably be hurried, but like, I don't know,
for everyday people,
for everyday,
not me.
Yeah, it's like, man, just enjoy the drive, like, try and notice something you didn't notice before, or like,
just go at a nice pace that feels good, and
you breathe,
and you'll get there 3 minutes later, and whatever,
and
who
the
cares?
Lord is with you, and like, listen for his voice, you know.
You see, that's genius.
Yeah,
that's genius.
That's why I love that book too. It talks about the whisper.
That's
like,
so genius.
You can't hear him if you're,
don't just be all like angry and clenched and running from place to place and doing like at your task angrily. Just like, let them take the time they want to take.
Yeah,
that's genius. Let the tasks like tell you how long. And it sounds a little weird, but like, just let the tasks tell you
how long they
want to take.
Yeah, that's good.
Which sounds is obviously a long way of, a weird way of saying, like,
no,
just don't
good.
Rush through it, but it's a just, like, sometimes personifying tasks and stuff is like helpful to your brain, so you can understand a better way to think about it. So
yeah, I agree.
Honestly, just when you're doing stuff, listeners, think about how long does this thing want to take.
Yeah, and just, it's okay.
And sometimes if you do slower, you'll do it more accurately, so it actually be better.
Mm.
You don't have to do a second time, you know.
Ben Stewart says, well, he got it from the Navy SEALs, but slow is smooth and smooth is fast.
See, that's what I'm saying. So really, slow equals fast. Take
slow
that, mathematicians.
Hoo-yah.
Have you seen the things where they like prove mathematically that 2 = 1 and stuff on the blackboard?
No.
They're like, 2 = 1 + 1, right? And then the square root of 2 = √1 + √1, and they keep going. And eventually there's some mistake, but you don't catch it, and then they eventually simplify it back out and say 2 = 1. Look it up.
That's crazy.
Look it up, kids.
Oh my gosh.
This is maybe the last topic for tonight, but I wrote down the decreasing value of money, which doesn't mean inflation. It means like, as you get older, this is not meant to sound privileged, but I think it's just sort of how it is. As you get older, the meaning of money changes, and like the amounts of money that do or don't register change. Cause like, I paid $3 for parking, which does not register. When I was a kid that got paid like $5 a week for vacuuming the house or whatever, that would be like, oh man, my whole whole thing's gone. That's crazy. So I'd have to like save and buy 5 things from the dollar store or whatever, the weird. And then like, if I was something was 20 or 30, like forget about it. That's not even going to happen.
It's like a yearly,
I was like,
once a year thing.
This is not meant to sound like privileged or whatever, but me and Joe have jobs and work, and God is taking good care of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like anything under like 10 or 20 doesn't really register a lot of the times. It's like, if you need it, you need it, and you just don't think about it.
Mm-hmm.
But then like, if you make way more money, or, you know, are way more established, then it's like, does anything under 1,000 not register? Like, you see what I mean? But then if you're young and work at a job, it will only make like $7 an hour. Does anything under like $1 not register? Or, you know what I'm saying?
I wonder if it's like,
what doesn't register?
Cause I totally agree, but I wonder if it's less about how old you are and how much you, but more about how much you have, you know what I'm saying?
That could be. Yeah.
Cause like,
well, yeah.
Well, because, like, I mean, even thinking about, like, a few years ago when I had a college, like, part-time job, and, like, I wasn't making, you know, maybe I made $5,000 a year or something, And back then I was like, man, like $100 at the groceries really hurts, you know? I don't know, but I mean, that's been my, see, and, but I feel different because I am like, I tend to be a little bit frugal.
As do so I, Joe, like, come on now.
So like the $20 meal tonight was like, oh, like I hate that. But I mean, it's good. It was, you know, we had.
I interpret that as like $10 to $20 to hang out with your friends is how I interpret that. I like, don't worry about it. The food is incidental. The food is actually, because you can start doing a bunch of mental gymnastics.
Whoa.
So I have a ton of, this can be a whole segment. I have a ton of, we'll wrap it up. But I have a mental gymnastics that I do sometimes with money. One of them is like, if I'm going out to eat and I pay for it and it's like, oh, it's too expensive, it's $20, whatever. I'm like, you're paying $20 to hang out with your friend and the food is a bonus. Now this quickly gets into TikTok where like girl math and boy math, and we don't have to talk about all that, but that's how I think about it. And that is meant to like settle my nerves for like, oh, it's fine. Don't worry about it. You're good.
Yeah.
You can pay $20 to have this great conversation, get some, the good food is almost free or incidental to it, and move on with your life and don't think about it. So that's what I have to say. Cause I'm very frugal. I'm so frugal that I sometimes worry I become cheap, which is different than frugal, because cheap is not buying things that you do need. And frugal is buying things that you need, but, you know, trying to not spend an arm and a leg for them if at all possible.
That's a great distinction, actually.
Because I think a frugal person would buy a good, they'd wait for like the good mattress to go on sale, the good shoes to, like they'd want to buy the good stuff. They just want to be reasonable. And then the cheap person's like, ah, all this stuff is crap and broken, but I'm not going
to
buy it.
I want to get into running and...
So just buy $100 Brooks and call it a day.
I did, like, when so I waited sale, for the Hokas that I was looking at to go on sale, and they did, and here they are. So I bought them today.
Hey, congratulations.
Well, I mean, I ordered them last night, but I picked them up today, so
nice. Whatever.
Anyway.
Yeah, so anyway, cheap versus frugal. So
that's good, yeah.
That's one thing
that's good
I think about.
Yeah.
That's one money hack. And then sometimes I'm like, let's use this as an example. So this is going to be a weird hack. For a while, I worked at Chick-fil-A and mowing at the same time, like private mowing clients, shall we say. The private mowing clients per hour was a way better like amount of money. Chick-fil-A, man, I worked here so long and got no money because I was like less than seven without taxes, whatever, you know, put it into it. And then versus like, well, the mowing, if you do look at it, it's like $15 or $20 an hour, maybe even a little more depending on what yard it is. So then basically if I had some unexpected expense, I'd be like, oh man, I worked... This is going to sound literally insane, but here it is.
Oh, yeah.
So think about it. You see where this is going. Basically, I have some unexpected $100 expense, something in the car broke, whatever, something bad happened. So I have to spend $100 for something that I didn't really plan for and didn't really want to do and am annoyed. It's always annoying when your car breaks because you're like, I spent all this money. I had the car functioning car before. Now my bank account is drained. I still have a functioning car. So nothing's changed, but I have a drained bank account. Anyway, don't try to think about it. But anyway, something would happen. I think car is the best example. Different things broke or whatever. But I was like... It's really sad to think that this like wasted 25 hours at Chick-fil-A. So I'm going to interpret this as the money I used was actually from 30 minutes of mowing. And I get to keep the money I worked hard for 20 hours at Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, there
you go. That makes no sense. But it somehow made me feel better. You know what I mean, right?
I think so, yeah.
So
yeah.
I interpret that chunk of money as the mowing money that gets used to fix the car or whatever and thing that came up and was more expensive than I want it to be. Or like if I spend a bunch of money to like buy different people gifts for Christmas or whatever, I'm like, it's a bunch of money, but I'm interpreting it as like the easy money for mowing.
Yeah.
And then the hard money is like the money I get to keep.
Yeah.
That I worked hard for at Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
And it's like, that makes no sense, but it made me feel so much better than keeping the mowing money and using the Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
You know, it doesn't make any sense. It's
girl math, but it's fine. It's boy math.
Boy math. Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Does that make any sense? Does that make any sense?
I used to do that with mowing too. But actually when I worked at crew, I did that. Yeah, that's true.
Because the crew money was probably harder tax. So you're like, if an expense came up you didn't expect, you're like, I'll use the easy mowing money that was semi-fast to make. And then I get to keep the crew hard money and save it.
Yes. Yep.
And the money doesn't care. It's like, it's all the same.
It's all the same. It goes in
it
the
does
same
not,
bucket.
It does not matter one bit.
It just makes me feel better about it.
But psychologically thinking about it, it makes you feel better. Or I'm trying to... I feel like there's other examples of this, but I feel like that's the best.
Yeah. No, that's it. Yeah. Well,
maybe another example could be like if you had a gift card and then you buy like something extra with your own money.
Oh, yeah.
Then it's like you can interpret the gift card went toward one item, but
exactly.
not the other.
Yes.
Like I bought the extra item, but the gift. Anyway, you can think about it. Whatever.
The best is when you have cash because it's just like Monopoly money.
No, Joe. No, Joe. Like, see, that is girl math. I will get sexist. accidentally.
No, it's true.
And say that that is what people on TikTok say.
Yep.
And it's like, cash is free. So one Girl Math thing you'll see that drives me literally up the wall, cash is free. It's like, oh, yeah. If you have an item and return it, it's free. The money you get back from returning
that,
it is free.
That is the stupidest Girl Math. I returned this. So the I made $60.
I've actually thought of that before. Like, no. It's like, no, you lost one penny due to inflation.
Hole, and now you're even.
Yeah, you've lost like a penny due to inflation.
Oh my gosh. But those tax returns, though, come on. That puts you plus.
Oh, don't get me started. So let me get mad about, we talk about Girl Math. This could be like a 3-hour show right here. The tax math, think about this. So the IRS taxes you based on what you make in a year. We both agree on that.
Yes.
That number, just like Lori coming home and looking at the map, that number, assuming you make the same amount, and yes, people don't know what they're going to make or whatever, but once you know what you made in a calendar year, and you'll be taxed on that coming year because you do your 2024 tax in 2025. Mm-hmm. Once that amount, the year's passed and you've made the amount you've made, that amount is locked in. And because of your tax bracket and any write-offs that you have, all that's locked in. Once 2024, it's over. It's locked in. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So those numbers are locked in. It's January 1, 2025. Those numbers are locked in for 2024. So, and this is not always allowed. This is not tax advice. But I feel you should pay everything at the last second, like allowable second. There are some things where you have to do quarterly estimates, and that's fine. But I feel like you should make it so you don't, not only do you not get a return, but you actually owe. Mm-hmm. I think you should make it like that.
You don't want to give the government a free loan.
You don't want to do late penalties, obviously.
Yeah.
But that number is what it is. So you can either pay it throughout the year. Mm-hmm. Or you can like invest it and mm-hmm. make a little bit more, or even a savings account, like make one penny off of it or whatever.
Sure.
And then give it to them at the last second. This is not tax advice, but what I'm saying is like people, I used to do this. I was like, oh man, I did my tax returns. I had my boring job at Chick-fil-A and then I get like 400 back or whatever, or 300 mm-hmm. back. Like, wow, this is great. It's like your own money you worked for. And it's then true, it's actually also less because of inflation. So I feel like you should calibrate to where you owe, get on the side of owing more rather than getting it back. And don't interpret it getting it back as a free money. Interpret it as my own money that I earned and inflation.
Yeah, because when you owe, you got all your money.
And you could do whatever you wanted in the meantime.
Exactly.
The trick is you have to have enough of a cash position to pay the bill, which a lot of people don't have. And that's a whole other thing as well. Yep. But if you have enough of a cash position to do it, then just pay at kind of the last second. Because... Mm-hmm. But anyway, I digress. If that works for you, there's people that are like, oh, I got my tax return, I'll buy myself something nice. And it's like, that's terrible, but whatever you want to do.
It's not my money.
So whatever you want to do, people. It's like, I've seen a lot of horrifying stuff.
Yeah, that's like, true. Yeah.
It's all good, but we'll see. That's math. Any other money math to talk about, or is that it?
That's all I can think of. Monopoly money. Cash is free.
No, cash.
Cash is free. Cash is free. Cash is free.
So wait, if cash is free, so only the like debit card and credit card is real, and the cash is free.
It's so backwards.
That's literally the opposite.
And we're not on the gold standard, so what does it freaking matter?
Yeah, it's literally all made up. It's all a big Ponzi scheme anyway. It's all made up. It's all just numbers that do nothing. And somehow we give our lives away for the numbers that do nothing. But the numbers that do nothing give us like working cars and working food. And so,
it's so weird.
Try not to think
about it. Do not store up for yourselves treasure.
Don't think about it.
All right.